In Acts chapter 1, verse 6, go to verse 6 if you would. So when they had come together, they were asking him, Lord, is it at this time that you're restoring the kingdom of Israel? He said to them, it's not for you to know. Now those of you that haven't figured out, I just want to tell you, this is what he said to them. It's not for you to know the times or epochs which the Father has fixed by his own authority. But you will receive power. The Greek word is dunamis. Means you have the power to walk this walk, the power to overcome, the power to bring down powers and principalities when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. The Greek word is martyr. You shall be my witnesses both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and even to the remotest parts of the world. Many of you have had the privilege of going on mission trips, and some have gone. When I was in India, I was exactly 12 time zones away. I was literally on the other half of the world. But while I was in India, I realized I'm in their Jerusalem. And we are the remotest parts of the world here. And the mission for all of us is the same. We sometimes think specialization, like God's called me to missions, so I have to get on a plane and do this or do that. But we are to be his witnesses here, Mission Viejos, Orange County, in Jerusalem, and Samaria, where we travel. Some of us travel more than others and beyond, and Judea and Samaria and the remotest parts. So we all have the same mission. And there's a young lady in our church who is very, she's quiet, very sweet. And I don't know where she gets this, but she came in to see me and she said she wanted to do this thing called the World Race. And I had heard about it, but it's where they go for, I think she was gone 11 months. And I really worked her heart. I said, why do you want to go? And I won't go into all that. Where are you, Laura? And I was trying to, in some ways, talk her out of it, because she had been on a mission trip when she was several years younger and gotten very sick and had battled some sickness in high school. And I thought it would be, I don't know how many countries, at least 10, probably more. She's going to tell you about it in a minute. But she came in and I was able, I've told her this, and I think I've mentioned it once before, the way she humbled herself, like she didn't come in. You know, some people I've talked to in my life, believe it or not, that come in and they already know what they're going to do and they want a rubber stamp. She didn't do that. She came in, and if I had come up with something really in God, I think she would have changed her opinion. And I felt like she was so open, it made me see God was all over this for her. And so she's a registered nurse. A really good one. If you ever, she's still on TV every week on the Chalk Hospital. You'll see Laura in there working and with neonatal or someone in there. And she took an extended leave of absence to do this trip. And she came back. It's been well over 6 weeks or so. But I told her I'd like to give her an opportunity to just share. So she's going to come and share. And I think she's got a couple slides that she wants you to see. And I got to tell you, even though in numbers we're not big, but this church has been all over the known world. I mean, there are so many people have been in nooks and crannies that both in business but also in ministry, and they're one and the same as you go out. I just think of the countries from Mongolia to Costa Rica to Zimbabwe, India, all over Europe and Asia. And John and Erica had a trip around the world, and John's leaving. He's going to India soon. And so we get to take part of whatever we have here in community and the kingdom of God. When we get these opportunities, then we go and we get to both give and receive in those situations, and we see the kingdom of God extended through lives. So it's really great to see that. Last week was a great week. I was very honored and humbled by all the nice things that were said. But I remember when I first started we are having a church in the park, and I said, I believe one day God's going to send somebody in this church to Africa, because no one's been anywhere. And now all over the world, and I could leave all of your countries that different ones of you have been through your high school, through your college ministries, through as adults you've gone, and it's making a difference. And we're seeing that he does own the whole world, that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And we get people coming from other countries like Macho from Costa Rica. Come on, Macho, you're here. ¿Cómo está? De nada. How'd I do, Coop? How's my pronunciation? So Laura, come and share, would you? Let's welcome Laura.
Kate, your bracelet made it around the world. Oh. Still really scary. So all I've been asking God for is, I was only given like 5 to 7 minutes to share, and I just like, I don't know how to share 11 months in 5 minutes. So I just have a couple of memories that were laid in my heart, and I'm like, what am I supposed to say, God? And God just says, you're just going to go up there and you're going to share those. I have two visions and I have two scriptures, and we'll see where that goes. I am so thankful for you guys. Seriously, I would not be standing here without you. Like, that Philippians verse is you guys. I've been praying for you since my whole life, because that's where I've been. This is my whole life here. We saw so many things, experienced so many cultures, took part in so many families, participated in so many services where we had no idea what was going on. As you've known, through stories of Erica and John's, but one of the overarching themes of what God has been teaching me in this year is just how hard sometimes life is, and just things that God throws at you, but that he's good, and that he's good all the time. It's just, it goes through everyone's life. And the awesomeness of God, and how big he is, of how Bill said that, but how small God can be, and that you get to crawl up into your daddy's lap. So and in one moment, he's God of the universe, but in the next moment, he's your papa, and he's telling you his love. And those first pictures in Kenya, month one, didn't know if nursing was going to be possible, but month one, we got thrown into Jiggers treatment, which Jiggers are like little fleas that crawl under the skin, and they stay there, and there's hundreds that get in their feet, and they prevent people from walking and working. Children get them in their hands, babies crawling on the ground. And so that was one of our ministries, and all we were given was some iodine and a little razor blade, literally those packing razors, not in a container or anything, just and I'm gonna not tell too much, but just, it's painful to get those things out. And here are some really strong kids that literally were screaming in African, I'm gonna bite you, I'm gonna bite you. And they did. And they said they're gonna pee on you, and they did. And no one told us, they just laughed at us. In that moment, I was sat next, one of my biggest memories is of a family. I sat in front of six kids, and I had to do this to all six of them. And I had to sit there and make infants cry by giving them shots. Yes, I do that. But this was like older kids that actually knew what was going on, and they were bawling, and I didn't have to do it, but I did, because it was preventing them from sleeping. It was preventing them from eating. And what God taught me in that is, like, there's so much in our lives that affects us, and how we live our lives, and just how we can't do certain things because we're held back by the pain of certain things. But God is telling you right then and right now that as He is getting those creatures out of your feet, as He's getting those things out of your life, that it's going to be painful for the moment, but the sweet sleep that you're going to experience after that is done and the rest that is going to come from that is amazing. And so scripture I wanted to share was Isaiah 43. Begins in verse 2. It says, "When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Since you are precious and honored in my sight, and because I love you, I will give people in exchange for you, nations in exchange for your life." And that you are precious, and you are honored in His sight, and it's not going to be an easy road, and it is going to, you're not going to be burned, but it's not going to promise that you're not going to feel the heat. And these kids came back to us, and they were eating like they hadn't been before. They were crawling, and they were walking, and they were able to help their families. And this was like only 3 days after, and they were sleeping better. And it was just, we got them shoes, and we saw them in these shoes, and it was just a blessing to see that. And what God taught us through that is just His overwhelming sense of love, but through the pain. And then she's pictured multiple times in this video in the Philippines. A little girl who I met on my first nights in the streets of Manila. And it wasn't our ministry that month, but they do a little bit of first aid. And so my first night there, I got a little girl, and they just picked her up and they put her in my arms. She was 4 years old, about like half asleep, like eyes crusted over, and she had burned her foot on a motorcycle with her family, and she barely sleeps because she's out with her mom on the streets during the night and with her kids, and they sleep whenever they can get it. And so I treated her foot, but at the end we provide them with food and water, a warm meal. And so she was literally sleeping. So I'm spoon feeding her while she's sleeping. And this happened on multiple occasions, but just broke my heart every time, the life that she was experiencing, and just that as soon as she crawled into my lap and she was awake and lucid, she would just like just completely let go. And she would just be held and just loved. And she just complete abandonment, almost just in my arms of just like, "I know you'll love me." And so I sat there on those streets and I fed her and I took care of her foot. And one night I just, on this street that's literally lined with needles and trash and smells of all kinds of smells, I leaned back and I knew that God is saying, "Oh, how I love you." And the song, just how He loves us, just poured over me. And that was a huge song with home group and just before I left. And it just poured over me in that moment. And just like God saying, this is me holding you. This is me carrying you through these moments. And this is when you have nothing left and you have no safe place to go. I am your safe place. And He said, we are to God, He says in Songs of Songs, chapter 8, verses 6 and 7, "Place me like a seal over your heart, like a seal on your arm, for love is as strong as death, its jealousy unyielding as the grave. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. Many waters cannot quench love. Rivers cannot sweep it away. If one were to give all the wealth of one's house for love, it would be utterly scorned. It burns like a blazing fire, like a mighty flame. So as much as love is painful, it is so good because many waters cannot quench it. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. And when we have nothing left, we can just sink into his arms and just be held. And that's, this year has been about, you know, is what I say most commonly in the most general of terms, it was the best year of my life. It was the worst year of my life. And it was just, it was everything. It was just simply everything. And coming home from my debrief in Georgia, we were given a writing prompt of suppose God. And that's just kind of how I want to leave you guys. And God's doing something. I don't know if I'm supposed to share. I can share. Okay. Some of you know, some of you don't know. What's next in my life? I'm going to be moving to Georgia for a season. God's not done with the work that he completed me in Georgia. I'm not done with nursing. That is still ultimately the dream, the passion that God has given me. And this is an opportunity for me to grow in that and grow in my giftings. And he is, so more about that is that you guys can come up and talk to me as well. But I leave in 2 weeks. So, yes, I'm back. But we were given a writing prompt at this debrief that changed my life. It was really an awesome experience. And the writing prompt was suppose God. And I had nothing, like absolutely nothing came to my mind when we had this writing prompt. But when I came home and after the week that I experienced there in Georgia, one morning, the next morning I woke up after a crazy night, and it said, he said, suppose God loves you. Suppose God loves you so much he wants to break your heart. Suppose God loves you so much he desires to wreck you. Total everything you've ever believed. Suppose God loves you so much he desires to make beauty from the ashes. Suppose God loves you so much that he'll do absolutely anything to see you walk in that freedom. Suppose God loves you so much that he will deliver you of demons who cringe and writhe at the sound of his name and their punishment would last forever. Suppose God loves you so much that he will make the day happen where your mind is completely rewired. Suppose God loves you so much that he gives you his mind. Suppose God loves you so much that when you give him your thoughts, he crushes the captive ones and cements the truth. Suppose God loves you so much that he'll fight for you. Suppose God loves you so much that he'll fight for you every day because you are worthy, because you are pursuable, because he wants you, all of you. Suppose God loves you so much that you risk everything to walk in the freedom he lays before you because he loves you, because you are worthy, because you just are. Suppose God.